Aloha folks, you're listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 26. This episode is sponsored in part by Lost on 111 Grill and Art Lounge, located in La Quinta, California. Lost on 111 is a family-run business that serves traditional American and island-inspired breakfast and lunch items, including hefty-sized omelets, biscuits and gravy, chicken and waffles, loco mocos, huli huli burgers, salads, and more, and all cooked and prepared by a Navy veteran chef. Come try their house mimosa, the Lost Mosa, a delicious combination of Pog and almond champagne for only $4. And speaking of champagne, how about something exotic like coconut nui or Tahitian vanilla, both by Wilson Creek Winery in Temecula. Lost on 111 is open Wednesday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, visit their Facebook page or webpage at lostonone11.com. This episode is also sponsored in part by The Reef, a tropical-themed libation sanctuary located at the Caliente Tropics Resort in Palm Springs, California. Enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner overlooking the Caliente Tropics pool or an excellent cocktail by some of the finest bartenders the city has to offer. Open weekdays from 2 p.m. to 1 a.m. and weekends from 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. Follow them on Facebook or Instagram for information on special events, including weekenders such as Tiki Caliente and Mod Palm Springs. On this episode, we talk to Bamboo Ben. If you're a tiki person, then you know who Bamboo Ben is. He's the grandson of the original beachcomber Eli Headley, who coincidentally worked with all of the legends of the tiki world, including Bob and Leroy at Oceanic Arts, Barney West, Mylon Guanco, and a lot more. Ben's got a crazy resume. He's built stuff for private residences, including doing work on some of the best-known tiki temples from yesterday and today, including Don the Beachcomber, Frankie's Tiki Room, The Luau, Contiki, Forbidden Island, Kona Club, Royal Hawaiian, Billy's at the Beach, and he's currently working on a project called Tiki Cat in Kansas City. You know, a popular topic on this podcast are ghost stories. People just love telling ghost stories, and considering that Ben works in a lot of old buildings, he's got his share of ghost stories to share with us as well, so I hope you find that entertaining. We recorded this episode live from Royal Hawaiian in Laguna Beach, which is a job that he's working on right now, over one of their classic Lapu Lapus, which they've been serving since 1947. That said, I hope you guys enjoy this episode as much as we did recording it. So without further ado, I bring to you Mr. Bamboo Ben.
Now he's always holding the stone.
That's right. That's hilarious. So, all right, Bamboo Ben.
Adrian.
Thanks for joining.
Right on, man.
So we're here at the Royal Hawaiian in Laguna Beach, and I'm looking at the stuff that you did here recently. Man, this is so much better than it was when they first reopened.
This is a total, like, no light wall situation here. So basically, yeah, we're taking all the walls that are white and we're turning them, you know, into lahala.
So what's left? What else are you doing here?
We're doing some beams tomorrow in that back wall over there.
Okay, so we've got the wall. There's like one wall left over by the kitchen. Yeah. You basically did the whole ceiling in the dining room, the ceiling in the bar. The entry.
Entryway we're doing when I get back from Kansas City. I got to go back to Tiki Cat on the 27th for 9 days.
Okay.
Open that one up and then come back here. And then we're going to get this one completely dialed in and then have a big party here in June.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So it's like a grand reopening
Reopening, yeah.
Oh, very cool. Are you guys going to have
I think
entertainment and all
entertainment
that?
Entertainment and everything, yeah. She, Hasty, the new owner, she's super cool and she just wants to go off.
Yeah.
And she's got the bug. She got bit by the tiki bug.
Yeah, you know, like, that's pretty cool that this place, at least it sounds like it went to the right people, because, you know, when it closed down after the remodel, when it...
Yeah, and they gutted it.
Yeah.
And then it closed down, the guy, I forgot his name, but he put it into the ground.
Yeah, and I just thought that was it for this place, which was kind of a bummer, because, you know, we don't want to keep losing all of these tiki spots.
No, we want to have them stay here, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
And so it's that it basically sat vacant for a couple years untouched.
It did. It did. Until the Honecker family came and bought it.
Right.
They actually kind of bought the whole block, real estate people.
Yeah.
So, but they're really into this, and this is like their kind of like their dream, you know,
yeah.
escape.
Yeah.
Her dad lives right up the hill from here. He's down here like every night.
Okay.
The thatch and stuff we put on the ceilings and everything, it really helps with the sound because there was like an echo box in here. And okay. A lot of people complain, you know, it's so loud, so loud. But like, since we put the thatch in, you can clap down. It doesn't echo.
Right, right.
And we're still working on some more stuff for that too. So.
So these high ceilings, I always wonder how you do these because I've been on top of a ladder that's 20 feet high and it's scary. And plus, you know, it's got to be awkward. If you're up there, you know, you're kind of upside down.
And, yeah.
You know, you're on a platform that's only maybe 14 inches wide.
Yeah. It's,
do you have somebody who helps you?
I do now. My son, Blake.
Blake's helping
me. I took him before I built Cheeky Cat, before Royal Hawaiian. I did Caroline Pupalele.
Yes. Saw those pictures.
In Austin.
Okay, so he helped you there.
No, I after that job.
Okay.
That was 17-foot tall ceilings, and I was running up and down 12-foot ladder.
Yeah.
And I'm like 51 now, and I'm like, I don't think so.
Can't do
this. I did it for 10 days straight, and I got home and I was wiped out for 2 weeks.
Oh.
I was laid on my back.
Yeah.
It was flat.
Yeah.
And so I said to the owner of Tiki Cat, who owns a bunch of other bars called Hop Cat throughout the Midwest, I said to him, I said, I got to bring a laborer with me on the job. So,
right.
So I said, you know, I got to bring my son. Instead of, you know, hiring a laborer out in Kansas City, I just hire my son on. And he's been with me since. So we spent 5 weeks in Kansas City. Now we spent a couple weeks here off and on.
So is he going to be picking up the torch?
We'll see what happens. You know,
so for the
listeners, he's really good. He's good at what he does.
For the listeners that don't know, and you should know this, Babu Ben is the grandson of the great Eli Headley, the original beachcomber, who was building tiki bars along with the guys like at Oceanic Arts.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Well, I did a podcast with them. They told me stories
of
building stuff with those guys.
That was a great one. It was funny.
So, You know, all the names that you hear from the history books, right, with Mylon Guanco and Barney West, and all those guys knew each other.
Everybody.
Huh? They were all working together.
They all worked together, exactly. Yeah, Bob and Leroy are classic. They were kids when my grandfather was doing it. They every time I go to get supplies at Oceanic Arts, they're constantly telling me stories, you know, just pulling up invoices. Oh, look, your granddad did this. Oh, this is the one at Mahi Mahi in Nashville where he's, you know, it was like $1 million decor job, and it was just all out. It's really cool. It's a good feeling.
No, that's got to be. It's got to be like a really cool feeling because you've got that whole lineage and that history that go on. And now with this, you know, the big resurgence that's been happening over the past decade or more, you're like totally connected to that, you know.
It started for me back in like 2000, I think, or a little before.
Right.
I was doing custom homes.
Okay.
And then from there it went to like more custom homes.
So what was your
rooms.
Going back to then, I remember seeing a video that you
did.
There was an interview of you that you had. They had asked what you were doing before you were doing the tiki stuff. You had mentioned you were doing furniture.
Yeah.
And other things, right?
Furniture.
Do you remember what was the first job you did that was tiki or Polynesian related?
Oh, God. Well, we used to build little bars all the time and have parties because we live in Huntington and we had a big grass lawn. And so we'd build a tiki bar and have a party. And the next day somebody would drive by and say, hey, is that for sale? Because everything on your lawn is basically for sale in Huntington, you know, yard sales.
Right.
So we say, yeah, sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And boom, sell that one for like a couple $100. And turn around, build another one, a different one, and keep going bigger and bigger and bigger, bigger parties. And so basically it kind of started like that. But it started, and then a friend of mine came and said, you know, hey, my boss is having a party up in Malibu. She wants a tiki bar. It's a Hawaiian themed thing. And her name was Dottie Dartland.
Okay.
She was a TV creator, producer. Her partner was Chuck Lorre.
Okay.
Chuck Lorre or whatever. So they were doing, Dharma and Greg at the time.
Uh-huh.
And so I went up and built her a big tiki bar in her backyard in Malibu. And she had a party, all her friends saw it, boom, everybody wanted one. So.
So that was the start. And then
that was the start. And then it escalated to doing home installs.
Started in the home.
In 2000 is Barry Weiss. I did a custom room for him, the storage.
Barry Weiss is a guy from Storage Wars.
He's a maniac.
Yeah.
Crazy guy.
He's my favorite character on that show.
He's worse in life than he is on the show.
Yeah, and
I did a kitchenette for him.
Okay.
In his Hollywood Hills home, and he made a bunch of money from produce, so he's kind of loaded.
Right.
So, yeah, this kitchenette's really crazy. It has he mixed in like a diamond plate appliances into tiki. It's like really weird, but it totally goes, totally flows.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. Did that come from? Was that a collaboration for?
That was him.
That was all him. Okay.
He actually had.
That's what I was gonna say. It doesn't surprise me if that's what he thought up, because that's the impression I get of him.
Yeah. Well, you walk into his foyer and he's got like 8 moon motorcycles all in a circle, kind of like a sculpture.
Yeah.
Every room in this house is a different theme. It's just a crazy place, and every room has a different bar, and it's just. It's over the top. It's actually one of Charlie Chaplin's old Art Deco mansions.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I
think I've seen pictures of that online.
Yeah,
because I think it was featured before in one of those curbed or something.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there, it kind of expanded out. I did a lot of, like I say, homes. I always do a lot of custom homes lately.
Right.
Like I've been doing a lot of commercial. It goes in weird ways.
Yeah.
But the first, I think, one of the first commercials. I did a lot of small stuff like. Hotels and this and that, but Holly Tiki in Georgia.
Remember
Brad
that.
Owens and BK and all those guys, Tiki Central?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so he flew crazy and I down there for like 4 days.
Okay.
And we worked like 3 days. I think we slept maybe one day. And it was just nonstop. Yeah. It was out of hand.
What was that like? Was that your first commercial one?
One of the first commercial ones.
I remember one of the early ones was at the Reef.
We'll call it. Yeah, well, that too. Well, the Reef had no budget, and so Casey.
Because I remember you did that one with Crazy Al.
Yep. I would take all my scrap material, go down there, and just do whatever we could. And Casey would put us up and trade us rooms, basically, for different events and this and that. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then now the Reef's reopened now.
Right.
Well, I guess Rory took it over.
He took it over. I believe he's the new owner.
Wow.
And I don't know if he's got partners. He probably does, but he had Buzzy come in and do work on that.
Yeah, I was in Kansas City at the time, so I was like,
right.
Oh, well, I couldn't be there anyways.
Can't
do them all.
I mean, you can't do them all.
No.
But, another one that sticks out in my head was when you did the one for Holden. I remember Magumba. I remember there was this stipulation that the property owner didn't want any holes in the walls.
Yeah, nothing nailed to the wall. So actually, it was built in this little nook.
But it was a full-on tiki room.
Full-on tiki room.
Full-on tiki. It's bigger than my own home tiki room.
It was decent size. I don't know, about the same size.
Maybe about the same size. Okay. So, I mean, it had a booth in it.
Yeah.
It had a big aquarium
fish tank bar.
And then it had a wall of tiki farm mugs, of course.
And basically, that was built out of... I used to build all Holden's trade show booths for him. And basically, that way we cut up a bunch of different trade show booth parts and put it together and use that. So, but yeah, no screws in any walls. It was... basically, you could have slid the thing out if there weren't a bunch of mug racks, in the way.
Sure.
You could have just slid the whole thing out. But we ended up taking the whole thing down and destroying it.
Oh.
But he wants to go off sometime in the near future. So we're going to do something else.
Yeah, do another project.
Yeah.
At the new office where he's at right now.
Yeah, he's waiting for his his long-term lease to kick in or something of that sort.
Okay.
So then he wants to go crazy after that. So we're going to make it, Magumba on steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
And you were doing stuff. I have a bunch of memories because, I've been doing the tiki thing a long time.
Forever,
too.
Man.
And I remember way back in the early days at the very first, speaking of Tiki Farm, he had that big old tiki bash.
Oh, yeah.
And you did that the big bar that's at Trader Vic.
Trader Vic,
that they were serving cocktails from. And then I remember getting my mind blown when you did a bahuka show. You showed up with a bunch of bars with mugs.
With
broken mugs.
That was Von Franco and Friends.
Yeah, okay, Von Franco and Friends.
Crazy Al, myself, Von Franco, and Holden.
And the bars, I remember thinking...
One of them had all broken shag mugs on the top.
Broken shag mugs on the top. Yeah. I remember thinking, thinking out of the box, you had them. There was some other stuff that was going on with some of those bars. Each one of them was really interesting.
Well, it was all dedicated to each person that was... I think the shag bar was... I think Shag was in the show, wasn't he? I can't remember.
I believe so, because it was all about Franco's art friends. They were all artists that were in that show.
Yeah, so I did a bar for each artist that was in the show. I kind of represented...
Okay.
Or whatever, that represented them. And also did a bahuka bar, too. It had a fish tank on the front. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then we did a Von Franco bar, the hot rod one. Yeah. I did my cheese ball impersonation of all those stickers, you know, like pinstriped it on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had like iron cross eyeballs that twisted around.
Right. Oh yeah, it spun.
Just to add these little motors
in it. Yeah.
And then the footrest was a painted bamboo chrome pipes that came up.
So what happened to that bar?
God, I don't know what happened though. I sold it to somebody. Everyone I've sold, so I don't know.
And there was another bar that you had that had little motors in it too. Which
that was for Cheeky Oasis. I used to do a bar every year for Cheeky Oasis, and just anybody who wanted it for whatever, make an offer.
Right.
And then sometimes I'd donate the money to Otto or whatever, or you know, to the cause, just to go and hang out. But it had a little flying spaceship on the front. I think it was the last one that was at Tiki, the Caliente Tropics.
At the Caliente Tropics.
Yeah.
I like it.
And you would haul out all of these bars on the back of your truck.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally, man. Stack them up.
Did you ever lose any on the freeway?
No, I don't think I ever did. You know, before I had my truck, I had a van, and I used to tie bamboo down to a rack on the top.
Okay.
And that came loose once, so I got 2-inch diameter by 12-foot long bamboo poles, like, flying all over the place.
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good one.
So I'm curious. I know that you work on a lot of these old buildings.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about this before. Like, you were telling me a little story about this building when you were working here.
Just last week. So we're sitting right where we're sitting.
Now, how old is this building, first of all, when we started? It's like the 1930s, 1940s?
47 is 47. When the first Royal Hawaiian started. So okay. I don't know how old the building was before then.
Okay, so 47 was 70 years ago.
Yeah.
So something's got to have happened between now and then,
yeah.
Right?
Well, there's stories.
All right.
There's, you know, dealing a lot of the tiki bars, I see a lot of, like, spirits and ghosts and stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
You know, not to sound cheeseball, but it actually really happens. Recently, in this one, last week, we had platforms where we're sitting right now on top of all the booths, and I'm up on top of a ladder facing south, facing toward the ocean, I guess.
Right.
And my son is facing south on a ladder, tying rope up on the ceiling. And I just get this weird feeling, you know, and I see kind of like some sort of a shadow, white shadow, off-white, something going to the corner of my eye, and it goes right past me and right to that doorway right there where the shells are.
Yeah. So there's a bead curtain made of shells for the people that are, just to give you a visual on what he's talking about.
So it goes through there, and it actually blows the shells open, which aren't light.
Oh, yeah.
And there's doubled up.
So they actually moved.
They actually moved quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so I sat, like, on my ladder for, like, about a minute, and I was just trying to figure it out. I didn't say anything to my son or anything. I was trying to figure out, what the hell did I just see?
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, I tell my kid, I say, hey, are those shells moving over there? And he's like, yeah, they're moving, Dad. He goes, did you just feel something weird here?
Yeah.
It's my hair sticking
up. Oh, your hair is sticking up right now.
It happens every time. It's sticking straight up.
Man.
So I'm like, fuck, we just saw a ghost, you know?
Right.
And so then the owner came in, and I told her, I said, is there something in this building? Do you know of anything in this building? She goes, yeah. Did you witness it? I said,
yeah.
Totally witness it.
Yeah.
I go, it's crazy. And I told her about everything. She's like, yeah. She goes, she's done research on it. And actually, there is a male. They think it's a male that you know, passed away or something in the building.
Yeah.
And that his spirits never left. So the next day we come, okay. The next morning, I mean, we're working early in the morning. Sometimes you think, you know, you're like kind of slapping yourself in the face.
Right.
But no, this really happened. So the next morning, the kid's in here setting up stuff. I'm in another room getting some other stuff done. And he's like, Dad! You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And he's all like, so there's something up there, you know, something up in the office. There's a storage.
There's behind this wall.
Yeah, there's a storage room up there. That's where they actually store the booze right now. And eventually they're going to turn that into a little speakeasy tiki thing.
Okay.
He's all, I heard it up and down the stairs. You know, I heard something banging around furniture up there and stuff. So he's all freaked out. He goes, I don't want to be in this room alone again. Oh, no problem, dude. It's all right. It's all good.
I know that, like, some of the old buildings that you've worked on was Contiki. I remember you telling me place is haunted.
That place is haunted. It's crazy. When I worked there, when I redid the whole inside, I redid the bar and did all the lamps and put new stuff on the wall, made it look, you know, just as old. They had a rededication party and all that. I was there for about 2 weeks, and then about the first week into it, you know, I'm working graveyard shifts from like 2 in the morning till 11, so I'm kind of out of it.
And, yeah, because they've got business during the day.
Yeah,
they're open, exactly. So you got to work after hours.
After hours.
Yeah.
So we call it third shift, or it's just rough, you know, to get used to it. And then you just turn into a zombie. But so I'm working there, and that's when I smoked back then, like 8 years ago. And I'm like, what the fuck? Where's a freaking ashtray go? Damn it! You know, and the bar is a zig. The bar is zigzag. You know, it's not a straight bar. And I'm like, what is it doing down there? So I go down and get my ashtray and bring it back, and I'd be like, you know, it's whatever. And, you know, a couple of days of that, tools moving around. And finally, I'm just like, dude. So I talked to Big Lou, the manager at the time, and I said, Lou.
I remember that dude.
Yeah, Big Lou, man, it's great.
Big Lou.
He says. I said, you know, Lou, I said, you know, I think I'm, you know, working. I got to take a day off or something. The hours are tripping me out. I'm seeing things at night. And this, no, no. And he goes, you saw something at night? I go, yeah. It's weird stuff going on, man. And he goes, oh, you probably saw the ghost. And I'm like, ah, no, man, it's not a ghost. Oh, man.
That's funny.
He says, you know, yeah, he goes, about half the employees have seen it. The owners have seen it. Some old guy died in here a long time ago. Same story as all of them. Even Clifton's, I'll tell you that one in a minute. So they ended
up... Were these like employees or what?
No, I think they're like customers.
Oh, they were customers.
Most of the customers.
Okay. So maybe they were like regulars.
Regulars.
And that was like their spot.
Exactly.
And then so they go there after they pass
away. They go there.
That's where they want to hang out.
Yeah, or they never left, you know.
Or they never left,
or they're in purgatory, hanging around somewhere in the middle somewhere, you know, where whatever you believe in.
Right.
Up or down. Or sideways, you know.
Yeah.
But, what am I trying to say? Oh, Lou. So anyway, he says, you know, he goes, yeah, you probably saw the ghost, you know. So then that next day, I saw something coming down the hallway. It was kind of like a blue and silver gas.
Yeah.
And I was just tripped forever since, you know. I was just like, wow, I can't believe this. That's so weird. And as soon as that happened, it really kind of tuned me in.
Right.
Like Donna Beachcomber, when I worked in there, redid it for Art Delia. Or, you know, added more and this and that. The basement down below, there's one room that's like you walk in and your hair sticks straight up on your head.
I've been down there. I went down there for, I think it was like Halloween or something.
Yeah.
And I want to say that it was Emerson. It was years ago. It was probably like a decade ago. Or maybe not so that long, but it was years ago. And it was like Halloween.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I think they did a tour or something, didn't they?
Yeah, I was down there with maybe like 10 people.
Yeah.
And it's creepy.
It's creepy down there.
It's creepy down there.
It's low ceilings. The door's only like 4.5 feet.
Right. And there's multiple rooms.
Multiple rooms because they used to be fish lockers. They used to have, they throw ice in there, but that's where they had all the fish.
Okay.
So they just like slide them down that back ramp to get in there.
Right.
And it's totally creepy. And there's one room toward the back on the left that's kind of all on its own. And it's just this freaky room when you walk in and everything sticks straight up.
Yeah.
And you know, I've never seen anything there, but you know, feeling it is just like,
yeah.
Once you feel it, you're kind of screwed.
I felt it when I was down there. I remember walking down there, and
you're like,
yeah, and I was like, all right, I'm done. I've seen everything. We can go now.
Absolutely.
And I was with a bunch of people. I couldn't imagine being down there by myself.
Another one was at Luau Beverly Hills. That one that only lasted 9 months.
Right. I never actually got to see that.
Oh, that place was crazy.
Yeah.
I'd work off hours there, not third shift, but, you know, driving to L.A. traffic shift.
Yeah.
So I'd leave. I'd work till like 9 o'clock at night and drive back home. And so I'd be up on scaffolding. It was more like clean. It wasn't really cheeky. It was more clean cut, like Bali feel.
Right.
The owners were Lori Rodkin, jewelry designer to the stars, and Andy Hewitt, who was a concert promoter for, he does all the Hollywood Bowl. So it was kind of, you know, affluent, Beverly Hills.
Right.
But so I was up on scaffolding, like constantly, upside down, working on the ceiling. And I'd hear this banging all in the evening. Bang, 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 bang. What the hell is going on up there? You know, I'm thinking somebody's on the roof, like, you know, doing something with the AC or something. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's nighttime. Nobody's working out there at nighttime.
Right.
So I'd go upstairs and it'd stop. I'd come back downstairs. There was an office upstairs and like a VIP room, and that was it, and storage.
Yeah.
So I'd go upstairs, you know, and then I'd like, then banging would stop, and then finally go back downstairs, more banging, get louder and louder, and I'd be like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then so I'd sneak back up the stairs, and so finally one time I snuck up the stairs, and I actually caught it. I kind of jolted around the corner real fast, and I caught the door, mid-action, stops right in the middle.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh
that's cool.
I was freaking out, man. I'm like, oh, finally, okay, I know what's going on here.
Yeah.
So
what was in that building before? Do you know?
It was
Was it a restaurant before?
It was.
Okay.
It laid dormant for a while, and before, I think it was called the Gingerman.
Okay.
Carol O'Connor had it. And he had it the longest, and ever since then, ever since the Gingerman, ever since he died and whatever happened to the building.
Right.
No business has stayed in there more than like a year and a half.
Yeah, so it's kind of like it's cursed or something.
It's totally cursed. Totally cursed. So I ended up going upstairs with some rope, and I tied that door shut. And I put a couple screws in it, too, you know? I didn't hear it after that. I was pretty stoked.
That's hilarious.
And then as soon as I was done with the job and I undid the screws and stuff, the door started doing it again.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like, oh, my God.
You're done,
though.
You're leaving.
I'm out of here. I'm done with this thing.
What about Clifton's?
Clifton's recently, oh, my God, all summer. So, I was there for about 3 months off and on.
That building sat vacant for a long time too, right?
A little bit of time.
Okay, a little bit of time.
Yeah. Actually, it didn't. Andrew Hewitt bought it, and then he shut it down for 4 years.
Okay. Yeah.
To remodel. He did two.
Yeah, that's
two,
what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, two remodels. He ended up busting out all the floors because it was only two stories, and then he busted all the way out to the fourth story.
Okay.
And that's where the tiki bar is up on the fourth.
Right.
And there were offices before. You know Greg Swanson?
I know the name,
he's friends with Rick Miller and he's an interior decorator and stuff. But he was up there. He was an interior decorator for all of Clifton's stuff.
Yeah.
Not the tiki bar, but all the other stuff. And working with Andrew Myron. Sorry, I get all my Andrews mixed up here. Andrew Myron, the owner, and so he had an office upstairs on the fourth floor, and there was no windows. It was just a door, and he was inside the office once, and it's kind of like right where the map room is now.
Right.
And he was inside that office, and he had all his designs on paper push pinned to the wall.
Yeah.
And he was sitting in there once with the door shut, and all the papers on the wall start twisting around.
Oh.
And it's just like a movie, you know?
Yeah.
He's telling us this story. It's a great story. And he's all like, man, he goes, I'm sitting there, and he goes, and, you know, everything, all of a sudden the push pins start popping out slowly.
Oh.
And he goes, and the paper starts swirling around.
Oh.
And he's all, man, he goes, what the hell? He's all, I'm out of here. And he never went back in that office again.
Wow. Have you been in that office?
It's gone. But when I got there, it was all, the Treetops Bar was in the front.
Okay.
And the nap room, and then the empty room for the tiki bar.
Okay.
And
okay.
They used it for storage at the time, and I'd go for meetings.
Yeah.
And the fifth story is offices and kitchen, and I'd go for meetings. And so I'd be sitting down there waiting for Andrew. And, and I'd feel weird stuff in there all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then basically working there is when I really started feeling it and seeing stuff.
Wow.
And it would go from the emergency exit door, which is the front of the building,
right,
to the right across the room to the kitchen.
Okay.
And the kitchen, or not the kitchen, but more the beer cooler.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So that's a good 100 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a long room. Yeah.
So the muralist Sammy Beam, who did the crazy murals in there, he did all of Clifton's murals. He'd go behind the door and wash his brushes off, and then the door would always like tap him in the butt, you know?
Yeah.
Knock it off. He's from where's he from? I forgot where he's from. Not Kansas, but he's from Kentucky. Knock it off. What the hell are you doing to me, boys, out there? You know, so it's just funny. And then actually, when I was with, I brought my family up there, and we were eating. Hanging out, and we were hanging out in the bar before it opened to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, we saw it, all of us saw it go by.
And so, if anybody wonders if ghosts are real, you've seen them.
Oh, man.
In multiple places, in multiple states.
Multiple. I mean, it just goes off.
So, I want to talk about the, when you built Clifton's, a lot of the decor came out of the Bahuka. And some of those outriggers. And the boat that's in there, it's like a Chris Craft or something, right?
Well, no, that didn't come. Andrew got that at a estate sale of some sort.
Right. Yeah, that wasn't at Bahuka, but too. I guess what I want was leading to was that you guys had to use cranes to get all that.
That's crazy, man. Well, before I came on the scene, they did the boat, the Chris Craft, and the back bar when they had the whole front of Clifton's off.
Oh, okay.
When they were remodeling it, they had the whole front. Another tie of the whole thing is Ron Cinso.
Yeah,
he's got the biggest tiki farm.
Tiki farm collector. Yeah,
he's actually the contractor for the whole job.
Okay.
So he ended up they took the whole front of the building off. That building that you see on this was fake.
Okay.
And it looks, you know, it looks like 100 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Did a really good job. But that's when they craned up the boat and the...
You know, if you never told me that, I would have believed that that was the same front
forever.
It looks
great.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
So when I came on the scene, we ended up, there's these 26-foot-long outrigger canoes that were in the ceiling of the Bahuka that 95% of us never even knew they were there because they were covered up with so much shit hanging from the ceiling.
Right.
I mean, I never knew they were. I don't remember ever seeing them up there.
I remember seeing one or two and even wondering how they got those up there. But
yeah, in Bahuka?
Yeah, in Bahuka. Okay. Yeah.
So
because they look like they weigh a ton.
Yeah.
And just... getting them into a doorway and then making a turn and all that stuff, it looks impossible.
So at Clifton's, they have them in this place called Bartlett, which is across, it's behind the alley from them. It's the apartment complex, and Andrew owns the parking garage there.
Okay.
So they have them, they store everything down on the underground, the first story underground, and all this whole big pile of Bahuka stuff. And so they're, which I, like, how, you know, we got to get those up there. How are we going to get them up there, you know? This guy Danny, this worker Danny and his crew were just insane. These guys were awesome. Anything goes. You tell them that we got to get those up there. Okay, man, we'll figure it out.
They'll find a way. Yeah,
figure it out.
Yeah.
So they go out of the.
That's the kind of crew you want to have.
Yeah, these guys were great. Yeah. Working with them were so awesome. So they would go out. There was a door that was swung open on the second story. First of all, they got to get them from the bottom to the second story in the parking garage.
All right.
And that's no easy task because I even creased my truck going down this parking garage once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's a little dent on the door. But they ended up, they got them up somehow to the second parking garage, second story, and out the door. And then they threw ropes down from the fifth story.
Yeah.
The fire escapes.
Yeah.
And they hoisted them up. And I got a video somewhere on my Instagram or Facebook or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. And so into a door that's 4 foot tall and maybe 2 feet wide from the fire escape.
Right.
They barely fit. And they're hoisting these suckers up. And it was out of control, man.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Well, you got them in there and they looked great.
Yeah, so we hung those from the ceiling. There's Andrew Myron, the owner, and I, we have a joke. Like, how many boat parts are actually in Clifton specific seats? Because like literally, like the wall behind the jail is like different boat parts cut up.
Yeah.
There's a place over there. There's tons of boat parts.
Did the jail have to go up the same way? That jail door?
The jail went up in the elevator because it was in parts.
Okay.
And the elevator can handle 7 foot tall stuff. So.
Okay. So you guys were able to do it that way. That's a lot easier.
And it was pretty cool working on that one. It was Andrew Myron's a pretty intense dude.
Yeah.
We got along pretty well, which was nice.
Yeah, good.
And you know, I have to go back up there one of these days, go hang out. You know?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to go hang out at places. So.
Yeah, I'm sure that after all the jobs are done, they all want you to come back and just enjoy it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But you're a busy guy.
We always do the grand openings and all the pre-parties and all that stuff.
Right.
We got one for Kansas City Tiki Cat coming up April 15th. They're opening to the public.
Okay, cool.
And that's a small one that holds about 50 people.
So let's give them a plug. April 15th.
Yep.
Tiki Cat. Grand opening party, Tiki Cat in Kansas City.
City, Missouri. Yep.
Okay.
It's hidden inside of Popcat.
Right.
The other bar that's there. Yeah. That one, Popcats are crazy. They're not tiki. They've got like 150 taps.
Okay.
They change 100 of them constantly. They have like French fries that are called crack fries. During the grand opening, they give out like 250 250 cards to people. For you get free crack fries for a year once a week.
Oh wow!
And there's a whole line all the way around the block.
Just because they're named crack fries now, I want to try them, man.
They're really good. They're beer.
They gotta be good if they call them crack fries.
Beer battered French fries.
Wow.
That have like these crazy seasonings on them, and you can get them loaded and all that racket.
Oh
so.
Man, that sounds awesome.
So the owner for that, for Hopcat, Mark, he's a friend client. All my clients turn to friends basically.
Yeah.
Because we're tight, close together. He's in Amsterdam right now, scouting for places to open in Amsterdam.
Cool.
So we're all over Europe actually, but I took him to Oasis last year for his first time, and we had a good time. It was a good party.
Awesome.
He got bit by the bug, so
yeah.
We've been trying to build a tiki bar for about 3 years for him now. So
okay,
he's based out of Grand Rapids. So
we need more of that, man. I don't want to see the tiki thing die. I want to see it grow.
No, it's growing.
Yeah. That's the impression I get is that in the past maybe 5 years or so, it really kind of took a jump. Yeah, it did. Like the growth. So
well, I think Martin has a lot to do with that.
Okay.
The way he did, you know, everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, like the Ram ambassador of the world right now.
Yeah.
Which helps, you know, being the tiki and all.
He's really transformed what he's done for a living into, you know, taking his passion and making a real go of it.
Yeah, totally. Know? Total livelihood. You know, I mean, not livelihood, but living it.
Yeah.
Know? He basically lives it.
What like, would you know, say is your favorite build out of all of them?
I can't.
You don't want to. Okay.
All of
well,
them.
Well, I know you all love them all. I'm going to tell you, like, the one that really stood out for me was Kona Club.
Kona Club is good.
I thought that was
misunderstood
a
lot because the owner doesn't really cater to the tiki freaks, like solely to the tiki freaks.
Yeah.
He caters to, you know.
Well, it's a local bar.
Locals, exactly.
And it was an English pub before.
It was.
Right?
It was.
And you really try. That's a real masterpiece.
It was.
Every room is different, and you can tell it's the it's done really well.
Back when I did Lee Unkrich's room, the Pixar guy.
And that's another great one.
Yeah, that's when he documented that thing and built a website and put it on Tiki Central and all that stuff.
Yeah, and it's still out there.
Yeah, it's still floating. He actually, it's no longer, he didn't hold the domain anymore. It was like 10 years or something. And then, but he ended up, you know, it's an iPhone thing or whatever now.
Right, so. Yeah.
But yeah, it was really cool.
You can still Google Lee Unkrich Tiki Room. And you'll find it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to see it, go look for it. And you'll find it.
I was building that and then, this guy Doug Miller called me up, and he said, "He goes, hey, he goes, I'm thinking about opening a tiki bar over here, blah blah blah." He goes, "I own a couple other bars." He goes, "I heard you're in the area. Maybe you can come by and check it out." So I drove over to Berkeley and met him at one. I drove to Albany and met him at Club Mallard, which is a trip.
Right.
Have you been there?
I remember Club Mallard. Yeah.
It's weird. You go in, it's like a duck lodge inside, and then you go out to the patio and it's all tiki.
It's all tiki, yeah.
It's like, what? You go upstairs and it's like this red apartment, and right. You walk outside, it's all tiki. What kind of twisted thing is this?
Yeah.
And so I ended up meeting him there. He took me there, and then he took me to his other bar called Thalassa that he used to have in Berkeley, and that was like a 14,000 square foot pool hall that was all mermaid and oceanic feel to it and stuff. And then we went over to King's X, which was at the time before Kona Club, and walked through there, and it was just this rundown dive bar. Weird place. And as soon as I walked in, like, there's that little roundabout at the beginning. It was all brick. And I go, mud hut, you know. And then, we'll do these beams like this. We'll hang this here. We'll do that. And him and his wife were joking around. After actually I did the job, or was working on the job, I brought Crazy Al with me for, like, a labor. Working on the job, they were joking around saying, oh, remember that? Because they have a house in Kona, too, right on the water. It's real cool. And we worked on that house.
So that's how they named it?
Yeah, Kona Club.
Yeah.
Their house in Kona is the last house on Ali'i Drive, right on the water, next to the Blue Church where John Wayne got married.
Oh, okay.
They rent it out too. So if anybody's interested, it's pretty cool. The waves crash over the break wall into the pool.
I was going to ask, is it the same Doug Miller who has the rental in Hawaii?
It's not.
There's
two of them.
Okay. Yeah.
That one, Doug Miller is friends with Sven and Otto and all those guys. But this is literally right on the water.
Okay.
You take your chicken carcass when you're done cooking your chicken, and you put it into the rocks, and these giant 6-foot eels come out.
Oh, wow.
Eels. Totally eat the, yeah, so gnarly.
I thought you were going to say, like, some kind of seagulls or something.
Eels.
Eels. Wow.
Gnarly eels. But if anybody needs to ever rent that place, you know, just contact me or whatever, offline or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Give you the information. It's really cool. Where were we?
Oh, so we were talking about
Kona
Club.
Kona Club. So did Kona Club. Okay, so his wife, they saw this life-size hula dancer, bronze hula dancer, you know, like the lamps. But
it's like the centerpiece of that bar.
Yeah, so they said, yeah, we're thinking about getting this. So they came back the next day, and I built a shrine basically for it. So they're like, oh, man, now we have to get it.
Yeah.
Another 10 grand.
I've got a picture with that hula dancer.
How can we say this? The areolas are polished clean. The bronze.
Yeah, people are always putting their hands on it.
So we try to, like every tiki bar, we always try to do some sort of fun little thing, you know? A tiki cat, we have to have a little waterfall in the corner. It's kind of cool. It's like, what? Waterfall in the corner?
Yeah.
And that place is packed. It's a small place. We have 17 smoking tikis in there, just smoking tikis.
Okay.
We have eight, 6-8 foot tall ones. The ceilings are 8 foot tall, so it's packed in.
Okay.
It's a pretty cool place. I keep going off track.
No, that's okay. What I was going to say was, or what I was going to ask you was, how do you come up with the concepts? Because, like, for example, Forbidden Island, yeah. That's like a shipwrecked ship on the inside. You've got the
Martin,
the panels on the walls.
Martin and Michael, I went up for a meeting, and when they took it over, I went up for the meeting, and it used to be a place called Lincoln's Address.
Which Lincoln's is Address,
this
yeah.
Gnarly, freaking dive bar.
Yeah,
I mean, not even
a
good
dive bar. Oh, it was an
ugly dive bar.
Okay.
And there was like, you know, four guys, and they're just like bums, and they were like drinking for free, and they lived out back.
Yeah.
Anyway, we just sat down in some Indian joint on Alameda, and we're eating, and they kind of threw me out some concepts that they kind of liked, you know. So I said, "Oh, cool," you know. So we started looking around, and I think I spent like 2 days up there, I think. And we went to all these salvage yards and stuff, and all this lumber from all the old homes there. So it's all true lumber. It's like real two by, real one by. And so I'm like, "Oh, this is great," you know. Yeah, we can take this lumber and we can throw it up on the walls and cut holes in it and put patching behind it, so it's like patched and
yeah.
And you know, worked with Martin direct. Martin's kind of funny. He's better behind the bar than he is with a hammer in his hand.
Oh yeah,
and he'll confess it too, which is awesome. Everybody's got their thing to do. He was great. I had actually his wife Rebecca burning all the wood out back.
Oh wow, okay.
Who would join in one day? And you know, when a funny one was when Michael, they used to call it. He used to have a license plate, Metal RX.
Okay.
He was the metal doctor.
Okay.
So he was, you know, like heavy metal guy. So, yeah, it was kind of like, you know, like rum smugglers that, you know, crashed their boat in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then they kind of, this is what they had to make, you know, with what they have, you know, and that type of thing. So, you know, you walk through the rock to get in, the cement rock, and then there's a water feature in the corner.
Yeah.
And the back bar is a funny story. In the back bar, Martin, he gave me a bunch of photos of this really elaborate back bar that was, you know, bamboo and all this, and I'm like, "Oh, cool, you know, I'll build that." Yeah, it's cool, you know. And so then I, you know, woke up. I actually spent 14 days there, and I slept 13 days inside there on a futon.
Is that another place that's?
Yeah. No, you know, I didn't feel much there.
You didn't feel anything
there.
Anything there.
But I did. I slept on a futon inside there, and that was, you know, becoming one with the job, basically.
Yeah.
The
I think I saw pictures of that too.
They're on Facebook. Yeah, my futon's in the corner, and towels hanging up on the bar.
Yeah. Now, what I'm curious about, as you know, some of the places you work on end up not making it and end up closing down. Does that bum you out?
It does. Like Longitude recently.
Yeah. I mean, like, because then you build this thing and you're proud of your work. You want everybody to see it. And then it just goes away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, Luau was 9 months.
Yeah, but Luau was another one.
Too many chiefs and not enough Indians in that one.
Right, right. What happens when something like that, I mean, like, do you go back? I know, like, Bob and Leroy, they go back and they are able to retrieve a lot of the stuff that they installed. Do you ever do anything like that?
On the Luau, actually, Art Snyder, when he was still alive, he knew Andrew Hewitt's dad.
Okay.
Because of being the L.A. guy and L.A. City Council and all that.
Right.
So he was able to acquire a lot of the stuff in there, like all the pufferfish, that chandelier.
Right, that's what's in the Fugu bar,
room.
Or the Fugu room at Don the Beach Comer.
Yeah, 38 pufferfish.
Yeah.
That was a crazy chandelier. Like, with just this thing spike your arms and you're just, like, bleeding and just itching, and it's a disaster. Longitude, I contacted Suzanne and asked her about the bar top because they're looking for something different here at Royal Hawaiian.
Yeah.
And she said that her investor is going to sell the whole thing as a whole. So
right.
I guess he already even has somebody to take it over. So
okay.
Or to buy it from him.
Okay.
I mean, it is kind of a bummer, but I mean, it was a fun job. You know,
it was
weird. That was a weird job. It was a real fast, not fast, but like she just like contacted me like boom, and I was available for a couple
weeks.
Well,
and that job too was, it's not like a traditional tiki. I mean,
no,
that
it's
was,
like African.
That was, it's like a safari
kind
of theme.
Escapism.
Yeah.
Did like a big mud hut in the corner. There was a stage there, so we just turned it into a mud hut. And the bar face did it kind of like this crazy mosaic looking wood thing.
Have you ever thought about putting all of your projects into a book?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just seems like a lot of work. Seems like more work than building something.
Well, you know, like...
no, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It is work. I mean, you've got to compile all the photos, and you've got to write all the stories and stuff. But yeah, I'm sure that there's people that can help you do that.
I have boxes and boxes of drawings, of sketches. I mean, everything's basically drawn on a cocktail napkin. You know, just fast, sketched out, you know, whatever. So, But it's fun to look back at those. And you know, I think a book would be fun sometime.
Yeah, I think that it would. I think it'd be awesome because you could put your
put some of the family history in there. Exactly.
You know, and speaking of which, I my condolences to you and your aunt.
My aunt Marilyn, she passed away, and we're having a thing coming up pretty soon, actually, down at the Cove.
Okay.
But she's the one who actually wrote the book, How Daddy Became a Beachcomber.
I have the book.
Yeah,
I have a copy of that.
It's kind
of
neat.
Yeah.
When she was 19, she wrote that book.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have got her to write my book before she passed away.
Damn it.
Ah, crap.
Well, you know what? I think the biggest regret that I have is not getting more stories from my elders, you know, before they passed.
Well, I had mine a while back write down a bunch of stories.
Yeah.
So they wrote, each one of them, each one of my aunts and my mom, they all wrote down different, you know, different stories, like pages upon pages of different stories of the stuff they did with Eli and Jobs.
Right.
Kelbo's one, Kelbo's two, like eating ribs on the corner, watching the stars going in and out of CBS and stuff.
Kelbo's, man. Yeah, that was another loss that I wish that we didn't lose.
The building itself recently went down and opened back. And then I think it turned
into Fantasy Island Strip Club.
Now
and then they closed down.
And then now it's another strip club, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I think another.
I know that after they closed down, that there were some people in the tiki community that had their eyes on the building, thinking like, oh, maybe we can.
But that building's huge.
Bring this
so it's
back.
Harder.
Yeah, it's real big. Yeah, and they had. They were also known for their ribs, which I'm curious how similar those were to the Bahuka ribs.
I'm sure they're all the same.
That's my thought.
Sugar,
you know?
Coca-Cola ribs, you know.
Oh, is that how they made those?
Basically, that's what we call them, Coca-Cola
that's
ribs.
That's funny.
Sticky ribs.
Yeah, that's funny.
And the same with Royal Hawaiian has the sticky ribs now, too. They got the recipe.
Oh, man, I gotta see if I could compare those to the Bahuka ribs.
How's that thing? How's that?
Let me give it a sip.
Curious to see if it's anything like the past.
You know what? It tastes like the way that they used to make it.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
I'm not like a craft cocktail guy or anything, but
it's the taste that I remember.
Yeah.
That's good, man. That's the one thing that I miss. Well, I miss the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, the bar used to be like back
the
here.
The bar was over. Yeah, I think it was in that corner with the back, because the bathrooms were
back
on
there.
The back over here.
Bar was back. They remodeled the whole thing. I mean, not the new owners, but the other
before the current owners. Yeah, you're doing an excellent job on this place, man. We got to make sure that the tiki community comes out here and supports them. And
yeah, she's really into it, like I said, and she's ended up she's contacting some mixologists for to help out with some drinks, menus, and this and that.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll kick again.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's their whole thing. So.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. So before we finish, is there anything you want to promote?
I don't know.
BambooBen.com?
Yeah, that's a joke. We've had BambooBen.com, something's coming to the site soon for like the last 15 years.
Right. Yeah, Shannon Arch is like that too. But we'll say it anyway. BambooBen.com,
Instagram, BambooBen, Facebook, BambooBen, and Ben Bassam. They made me change my name. All
right, because of Facebook police.
They thought I was a tranny and all that. Bastards.
So what?
Marina got her name back, but I was never able to get my name back.
There's a few people that were, but.
Yeah.
I think some of them are still struggling, and some of them gave up.
Yeah, I just
said fuck it.
All my photos are in there, so it's like all my photo albums. It's like trying to transfer them over.
But if you do a search for Bamboo Ben,
it pops up.
A search for Bamboo Ben if you want to see the stuff that he's done. What's the future for Bamboo Ben? Any upcoming projects?
Yeah.
are they top secret?
I got a whole handful. It's crazy right now.
Yeah,
it's out of control. Possibly more stuff in the Midwest.
Okay.
More stuff out here. More stuff.
You gonna get that TV show going?
I don't know, man. We tried that. We did the pilots. They shopped it. They said they shopped it. and it never got picked up. So
okay.
We have another person interested that she's actually got several shows on and off there. So
we're going to keep our eye out for that, because I think that'd be a fun show to have.
A building show, some kind of crazy thing.
Yeah. And like the Tiki stuff, man. Get an eye on your work, get an eye on the Tiki scene.
Yep.
And the right way to do things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No white walls.
Well, there's no right or wrong, but there's a couple theories, you know, no white walls.
Okay.
You can't have white walls.
Can't have white walls or white ceilings.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, paint them blue or green or red or whatever, brown, or, you know, if you can't afford, you know, thatch or this or that, but still, it's kind of comparable, really.
Yeah.
If you look at it, because, I mean, you did yours a couple times.
I did my ceiling a dark brown so that it would disappear behind the fishnet that I hung up.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, because the thing is, okay, we're talking about bar building theory. A white wall is as bright as a TV screen.
That's insane, yeah.
It's the same thing. And it just distracts you from...
So I'm looking at one right now.
Yeah.
And you've got awning up there.
Yeah,
the
outside, yeah.
They got to paint that brown.
Yeah.
They get rid of it.
Yeah, just darken it up, you know, like a dark brown color. I think that if you just go with a natural color, it blends in with the matting and the bamboo and the thatch. It's all natural.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so those are some of the theories. I know white walls.
Yeah. Perfectly not perfect.
Perfectly not perfectly imperfect, right?
That's my next bumper sticker, is perfectly not perfect.
Oh, I gotta get a Bamboo Band No White Walls bumper sticker.
I got them on the truck.
Okay, I gotta get a couple of them, because I'm gonna stick them all over the place.
Oh, for sure.
So,
yeah, I've been using that one for a long time.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And perfectly not perfect, also.
There were a few other ones that you had, right?
It was,
And the Bamboo Band was here.
Was here. And actually, that one's funny because nobody gets it, because the font on the was here.
Yeah.
Is actually from Kilroy Was Here from World War II.
Oh, okay.
And that kind of brought...
That's what that was supposed to mean.
That kind of brings it in the whole tropical South Pacific World War II feel, you know, that type of, you know, I don't know, kind of backboard.
I got to show you a picture of my skateboard. I put a Bamboo Ben, I think it's Bamboo Ben Was Here sticker, because I don't have the No White Wall sticker on there, and it's the main thing. I mean, I put a bunch of stickers of Tiki people's, you know, businesses and bars and stuff. But, of course, it's a Bamboo Ben sticker, so it's the big one, like, down the middle, you know?
Nice.
So it looks really cool. I'll post a picture of that.
That's a fun way. Oasis used to be at Caliente Tropics.
Right, right.
Back in the crazy days.
Yes.
You know, running around wild. Partying our brains out.
You used to wear bamboo painted suit.
I have two of them.
And an afro.
Yep.
and some glasses one. With the stars on them, right?
Yep.
Those were fun, man. Those were fun days.
That was my absinthe Bootsy Collins days.
Oh, Bootsy, you know, Collins.
Dr. Z running around with a big bottle of absinthe.
Okay.
We used to chug that stuff and just go lit.
I get the Bootsy Collins reference now. All right, that's cool. Cool.
I was kind of always the anti-social, not the anti-social, but the anti, like, you know, I can't.
Anti-establishment.
I can't wear a cabana set. There's no way. I just can't do it.
I can't wear a cabana set.
I can't do it.
There are things that there are.
Yeah.
I have rules.
I don't mind.
Stuff
but I
that
just
I won't
can't
wear.
Do it.
I won't wear a cabana suit, and I won't wear a fez.
I can't wear a fez either.
Yeah.
I was known back in the bad boy days to knocking everybody's fezes off their head. Throwing everybody in the pool. Hukilau was just everybody was in the pool, man.
I can see you doing that.
It was out of control.
Funny, that's funny.
You know, the weirdest thing is when I smoked, I was a madman.
Would you say that quit smoking changed you?
I think I'm that 1% that nicotine would make them go freaking out of their minds.
Oh, really?
And I was crazy back then.
Okay.
And as soon as I quit smoking, I just mellowed out.
You smelled it out?
Completely mellowed out. Yeah. I don't know if it was an age thing or what.
It could be that too.
But
because that's how I am. I'm 48 years old. And I'll be 49 this year. I'll be 50 next year. And I feel myself slowing down every month. Yeah. You know, I think I was talking with Vicky about this, Mrs. Bamboo Ben. That, you know, when I go out, I'm always looking at my watch, like, is it time to go home yet? Can I go home now? I want to go home,
right.
And I want to turn on my Netflix, and
right.
I just want to lay in the bed with a cat, you know?
Right. When's happy hour?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Happy hour's early, yeah. In and out, man. Go home, and I get my hot tub. I get rid of my tiki bar, actually, my home tiki bar.
Oh, did you really?
Because I build them.
Yeah.
It's like, why do I need a bar in my
house? Yeah, you don't need one.
I got a bunch of stuff in there, but why do I need a bar? So I get rid of that in my patio. And we got a hot tub.
Yeah.
So now that's like, you know, that's my escape right there.
Yeah, yeah.
After every day, I come home from work at night.
Get in the hot tub.
Drink the sucker up, lay in the hot tub, drink a glass of wine.
Yeah. Life is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it, man.
Yeah. So, you know, the aching joints from being upside down all day in the damn ceilings.
Yep.
And stiff neck and, you know.
Yeah.
It's all
good.
Well, hey, I couldn't imagine doing anything else, you know.
I appreciate you taking the time to sit down.
No, thank you, man. Awesome.
And,
killer.
I want to thank you also to our listeners and our audience that's out there. Bamboo Bend is the latest sponsor of Inside the Desert Oasis Room.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you for that.
No problem.
Because,
no problem,
you know...
And anything to help, you know?
Yeah, you know, like, I love that when people support me like that, when people, like... when they not only support me by listening to me, but, you know, actually becoming a sponsor, it means a lot to me because, you know, I don't make any money doing this.
Oh.
And, but I enjoy doing it. So I'm going to make sure that everybody knows who you are, Bamboo Bend. If they don't already know, everybody's got to know who you are already.
The theory I have is there's always somebody new on the scene.
Yeah.
And so, like, you always have to, it's kind of like, you feel like weird, like, constantly putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
But there's always somebody new.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the podcast because I think, like, geez, am I over promoting it? You know, should I?
Heck no.
I don't, you know, am I shoving it down people's throats? But
no,
you know what?
You have to.
I guess so. Yeah.
There's always somebody new. I mean, we are all old veterans from Tiki Central, and it's like, you know, half the people don't even know what that is.
Right.
You know, and it's a giant archive of stuff, which is great. And a lot of, you know, fun, you know, fun times. But now that Facebook's so fast, you know, there's a million different things on Facebook, and you try to keep up with everything. But it's you have to, you know, you have to. So,
yeah.
So, but you know, if the elders get too, oh my God, he's constantly talking about us. It's like, you have to, man. Sorry, guys.
Well, hey, it's all part of promoting the lifestyle, and it's all part of supporting the scene.
For sure. And welcome new people. Welcome new tiki folks.
Right,
you know,
right.
They're awesome. I mean, even at Don's, like at the marketplace, you see new people all the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
You're right.
He's like, whoa, I've never seen these people before. Who are these people?
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
It's good. It keeps everything fresh.
Right.
Just giant.
Okay, so then I don't feel so bad.
No, pump it.
I will.
We'll help you.
Thank you, Ian Bamboo Bend.
We're making we're making stickers soon.
awesome. So everybody that's listening out there, please support our friend Bamboo Bend. He's a friend of the Inside the Desert Oasis Room podcast. Check him out at bambooben.com, Bamboo Bend on Instagram, Bamboo Bend on Facebook. Are you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Bamboo Bend on Twitter.
I don't go there much, but I just try to put up working photos of stuff here and there.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Usually Facebook is what I put most photos up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So follow him on Facebook. And then again, listeners, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for listening to my show. If you have any questions, comments, or you want to do a shout-out or anything like that, check us out on the Desert Oasis Room group page on Facebook or Polynesian Pop on Instagram.
Yay.
Aloha and mahalo. Again, thank you, Bamboo Bend.
Cool, man. Thank you. Mahalo.
Cheers.
Mahalo. Adrian. Right on.